Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Really excited for this show, guys. We have a very fun, entertaining guest.
Yeah.
Darren Mulligan, the lead singer for We Are Messengers. Yes. He is going to be joining us. He's got a powerful testimony that you're going to want to hear, and that's going to come up later on in the show. We also have a topic that I'm really passionate about. I know you guys are passionate about it. I've lived it. And I've had several conversations in the past couple weeks with people, and it's come up because of some of the things here in the Philly area that the Philadelphia Eagles, our Philadelphia Eagles, have gone through, right?
Yes, yeah.
There's been some anonymous sources, teammates criticizing the quarterback and the coach, and then there was a former player who was not – anonymous at all.
Yeah. I mean, at least he wasn't anonymous. So, yeah.
We know he's got an agenda. He's looking to
100% agenda.
Get a career started. Yeah. But there's been a lot of criticism. And then, invariably, every time I get to explaining some of the criticism that Carson Wentz, the quarterback, a strong man of faith, faces, the question of his faith, Christianity, comes up. And it's been It's been interesting because there's a lot of people who are turned off by, not Carson, but by Christianity in general. Yeah. And the reason that they're turned off by it is because they kind of see a lot of hypocrisy in it, and they see a lot of people who profess to be men of faith, women of faith, doing things that they don't consider, well, that's not Christ-like, so then the whole faith must be a joke. And there's just so much criticism of it. And it's been, I've said this so often here on this show, and we've said it a lot, and we've discussed it quite often. It's really not about following a religion, because people get hung up in a religion, and they get hung up in obeying a set of rules and carrying on certain traditions and rituals and reciting the same prayers over and over again. And when we focus on Christianity as a religion, as opposed to that relationship with Christ, I think we miss out.
Agreed.
We miss out completely, and people are stuck in what they grew up in.
Yeah.
People are focused on the denomination or how they went to church, what their parents taught them, what teachers showed them, what their priests or pastors, what they did. And it's kind of losing sight of what Christianity really should be. And Jesus simply asked us to follow him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Follow him. He is the way. He invited us into a relationship with him and present others with that opportunity to get to know him as Lord and Savior. So I get in these conversations, and sometimes I can't finish them because stuff happens. We're maybe doing a show, and I've had a conversation during a break. And then the commercial ends.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's like, oh, and then stuff happens. And it's opportunities that we get to just present the gospel and just talk about, hey, I know you're hung up in religion. I know you're really, you think of Christianity as what you learned or what you grew up in. Christ didn't intend for it to be that way.
And,
you can, of course, describe this and speak on it. The fact that religion and relationship are really a completely different feeling.
Of course. I mean, look, when we talk about marriage, we talk, you know, there's the institution of marriage, and then there is the relationship of marriage.
Absolutely.
You know, very few people are, when you talk about a marriage, are actually thinking about the institution of marriage. They're thinking about how their marriage relates.
Right.
And yet, when it comes to Christianity, all we do is look at the institutional picture of it. And it is, there's an institutional side of Christianity, as well as, you know, that should be focusing our energy onto and our focus onto a relationship with Jesus. I think the issue, guys, is that what you're talking about, Rob, is that people are turned off because the message that they're reading is someone else's life.
Yes.
Rather than the message of the gospel. Very few people that I have ever talked to who have been turned off by what they call religion have actually read the gospel, have actually read the message of Jesus.
True.
What they're reading is the life of people who claim to be people of faith. And this is where it trips us all up. Because down deep inside, we all want to take some credit for where we are in our walk, where, you know, for how good we are, how holy we are.
Yeah.
We know that we can't add anything to Jesus, but we certainly try as much as we can.
Absolutely.
And I you know, even in the Protestant church, and this is where it can get murky, because we'll talk about traditional denominational concepts as being really wrong because they have more liturgy attached to it. But I don't think that that's the issue. I think what's the issue is, even in Protestant churches, we'll walk through the door of grace, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about, I'm saved by grace, mm-hmm. yeah. free gift of God, apart from any works. But then we walk right back into the room of works.
Yes.
So basically
yes.
we'll say, oh, I know I'm saved by grace, but look how good I am, because look, I don't do and they do. I'm fine, they're not. And that's where the hypocrisy comes down, because pride cometh before a fall. And when we add anything to the salvation of Jesus, when we add anything to the holiness that's in our life, when we try to take any credit for any of that, that is at the core idolatry, and at the core pride. And the biblical principle is always there. Pride will come before a fall. And then that's what ends up tripping us up in the long run. And so, you know, and it makes the message of grace murky, because we speak one thing,
yeah.
but we then base our holiness, righteousness, yeah. self-worth off of what we end up doing.
If we're honest and we look at it and honestly, none of us, we all know that no one is perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. We're all sinful people.
Correct.
So for me to judge another Christian who may act in a certain way, and then someone else to judge me, and we do that. We're all guilty of it.
Of course.
We're so guilty of it, because we're looking for people to fall sometimes. And we're looking for, especially when people are outspoken about their faith, you're looking for, yeah, but they can't be. No, it can't be that way.
Correct.
There's got to be something wrong here. And I just like to really caution people not to judge Christianity and being a Christ follower based on the sinful nature of human beings, rather than, man, just open up and read the gospel. Like you said, read the gospel.
But Rob, it makes me laugh, because, you know, we have the food truck, right? The Thy Kingdom Come food truck. And the biggest people who complain about what we're doing or not doing are Christians. like, they're like, you should be feeding these type of people and not feeding these type of people.
You
and
guys,
I'm thinking,
that, huh?
Oh, I mean, all the time.
Wow.
But what it is it's not people who are actually doing any of that. And when we actually do it, it makes people feel less about themselves. Because again, right, we are based off of works, even in ourself.
Yeah.
And so we want to diminish someone else's work so that our lack of doesn't make us feel any less valuable.
It's, you know, growing up in a Protestant church, I really did feel caged in a lot.
100%.
It was more to me as a cage than it is freedom.
Yeah.
And the more I grew up in Christ and just been renewed every day with just my relationship, I felt more of a freedom that comes in. And just every day I feel like this little baby that just learned to crawl and then walk and then eventually will run. I don't know if I'm running yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll run someday. But I'm walking, but I stumble. And every time I stumble, I stand up and walk again. And Christians always fall into that trap, like, no, you're walking now. Keep walking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're not allowed to stumble now. Mm.
You're going to stumble.
Uh-huh. You're not allowed to have
it's
anything
faulty
as a
logic,
crutch.
Right?
It's faulty logic. And then we all fall into that. I fall into that trap, too.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes I point fingers and then I remind myself, no, they're just stumbling. They just took a step and then they fell. Now they need the couch to stand on. Hold on.
Correct.
Stand up.
Correct.
And, you know, and maybe mom's hand or dad's hand to grab. So that's the thing. Christ always wants us to be in that relationship of holding on to me, holding on to my crutch, holding on to my hand.
So
I can stand you up again, because every day is a struggle. Even the people that are running, guess what? There's a rock in the way and you stumble.
100%. Remy, you guys have two beautiful girls. And they're twins, which means they're the same age, right?
They
are awesome. By the way, they're awesome. I love them. They make me smile all the time. But they're different. right? And so, and so what ends up happening is, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, when we judge ourselves or compare ourselves against ourselves, there's no wisdom in it, right?
Yes.
And as a parent, you look at the girls and you don't say, well, you should be because the other one is.
Right.
You should be there because a good parent is able to say, I recognize the strengths and weaknesses in each person and help them move in that direction together.
Yeah.
And that's what I will say as being a pastor is I have learned that the trap for us as pastors is that we really do want the best for our kids. And pastoring is parenting. It just is.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day, sometimes we give in to teaching them out of fear rather than teaching them out of faith. I know as a youth pastor, you know, it was always, you better tell them, don't have sex. Cause if you do, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to get AIDS. You're going to die. It stinks.
What?
It's not any good. And then, you know, they have sex and it's not bad and they don't get pregnant. And so what else are you lying about? That's fear, right?
Wow.
That's fear.
Yeah.
Instead of being able to say, hey God, there's power in purity. There's something beautiful about intimacy that can happen between just a husband and wife. God made sex great, but God made sex for marriage. But it's easier to try to control our kids through fear. That's where religion comes in. And that's also then enables us to be reinforced in our, I'm good because I didn't do those things.
Yeah.
I may have thought them, but no one knows that.
Yeah.
I may have said those things privately. No one knows that, but I don't do that publicly. So I'm okay.
Publicly.
So what happens is you get people who are non-believers and they go, well, I'm a good person. I don't kill people.
Right.
I don't steal. I don't lie, cheat, whatever it is. And they go, and that Christian said this.
Yeah.
And that Christian said that. So therefore, Christianity must be filled with hypocrisy. And it's, you know what? Sometimes we make ourselves look bad.
Yeah, 100%.
Oftentimes, Christians make each other look bad because you're out there and you're failing and you're falling and you're doing it in the spotlight. But we can't be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall. Like you said, stumble, get up, try again. It's difficult. And it's difficult because we live in a world where people really, they don't trust.
Oh, 100%.
They just don't have, and there's a lack of trust among people, among in the church. There's a lack of trust in the church. People have been hurt in the church. People have really gone through difficult things, difficult times in the church, and certain churches have covered things up and all that stuff. So there's a lot of lack of trust, and people look at that and go, yeah, so this whole faith thing, it must be filled with people who just aren't Christ-like, and then they'll point to, where does the scripture say this? And where, man, it's tough. It's an uphill battle. And I just like to just let people know, if you profess to be a believer, it's okay if you're going to fall.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to make mistakes. Try and get better from it. Don't keep repeating the same mistake.
And own it.
And own it. Yeah, we have to
just
accept our mistakes.
Yep.
But I also wonder sometimes when I see Christians who are filled with hate or Christians who are filled with anger, Christians who are filled with racism. We see that so prevalent in society now. And I wonder, are they professing to believe in their faith but not living it out? Why? Because maybe you haven't invited Christ into your heart. And to me, like, that's what separated my whole... I was always identified as a Christian.
Yeah.
Different denomination, but I always identified as a Christian, but I didn't invite Christ in my heart.
Yeah.
So I worshiped and I left them there at church. I followed the rules. I followed the rituals. I followed the traditions. I recited the same prayers over and over again, but I didn't have Christ in me.
Yeah.
Christ to me was a figurehead. He was up there on the cross, and I left him there, and I worshiped him and just absolutely just left him there, turned to him when I needed something, but not in my daily. And I like to challenge Christians to really invite Christ into your heart fully, daily.
Yeah.
24/7, 365. I don't even know if people say that saying anymore.
Welcome to the 90s. I'm just saying.
Right?
It's all good.
You know, like, if once you, the change becomes significant.
It does.
And it becomes, you now have Christ living within you. and you call on the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit yep. living within you, that changes things. That changes everything.
It does, and discipleship changes everything.
Yeah.
So when church in and of itself is only the I went to church, and that becomes the goal of the week, church is a celebration. Church is where we learn to live life well together. Jesus said, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. It's a call to discipleship. And yeah. discipleship is actually where we get changed in all those things. I do want to say one thing, Rob, because this is interesting what you just said. And we all fall into it, right? So you just named certain things out there that are horrendous from certain viewpoints, right? Racism,
yeah.
anger, yeah. right? Okay, yeah.
These are big ones. Yep, yeah.
Great.
And then there's...
How about like the problem is this. We all have certain issues in our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are yeah. overtly... So that's where we can fall in the same trap. Those are overtly out there. But how about people who are... look, we
judgmental.
All, yeah, the things you don't see that, mm-hmm. that are just as tricky mm-hmm. on the inside. And we all struggle with ways that we were raised. We all struggle yeah. with previous mindsets, yep. with certain certain sins that attract us yeah. more than others. Like I've never don't drink. I've never struggled with that. It's not mm-hmm. anything that literally I've ever struggled with. But I recognize that for certain people,
yeah.
alcohol is yeah. a huge yeah. problem. Mm-hmm. But for me, lust may be my issue. Like mm-hmm. But you'll never know that.
Right.
Right? You'll never know that because if I'm good enough by outwardly yeah. controlling certain things,
right?
That's the issue, and that's why Jesus talks all the time when he says to the Pharisees, "You are judging by the wrong mechanisms.
Right.
You're looking outwardly, and yet I look inwardly.
Yeah. We all
because
have
when
that,
we look
yeah.
inwardly, we're all on the same plane." Like when our standard is Jesus, not one another.
Yeah.
When our standard is Jesus, yeah. you are immensely aware of the grace yeah. and mercy that's on your life every day. Immensely aware.
Right.
So
yeah.
when
we
I
put
right?
yeah.
sometimes
aware.
We put levels on sin.
Oh,
this sin here, this sin yeah. there. Well, your sin's worse than mine. Sin is sin.
Yeah, and
yes.
We're all sinful people. Sin is sin. I love what you just said. Jesus should be our standard. It's
He's
Jesus.
The only
He's
standard.
The only standard.
There is
yeah.
nobody else.
And that's where we if we're looking at someone else, the way they live their Christianity. No, look at the way Jesus lived his Christianity.
Yeah, every time I'm going to look at my salvation through your eyes, I'm going to fail.
Wow.
100%.
And every time I'm going to look at my salvation through Christ, I'm going to win. So every time you're going to come at me with saying your salvation is this or that, that's according to your standards.
Yeah.
That's not according to Christ. So every time I have to actually
yes.
judge my own self every day, am I doing this according to the gospel? I'm doing this according to God? Am I doing this according to the Bible? Because according to you, I'm sinning. According to you, I'm doing this
Correct.
Wrong. According
yeah.
to you, I'm...
Correct.
So we have to always see where the guideline is, because if everybody has a guideline, we're all going to fail. There's only one guideline.
When we look at others to judge our own Christianity, it only feeds our flesh. When
Absolutely.
We look at Jesus in light of our Christianity, it humbles our flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we will never be enough. And that's actually what enables
so
us.
Good.
I really do believe, Roman, what you were just saying is true. When we're looking at others and we're going, I'm either not good, I'm not as good, or I'm way
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
It's either guilt, right? Or
right.
it's pride.
Yeah.
And or when I look at Jesus, there's nothing left but, man, thank you for the grace. Because I, without you, and that enables me to give grace to someone else. Because
yes.
if I'm a receiver, right?
Yeah.
To whom yeah. much is given, much is required.
Absolutely. Up next, we're going to hear from We Are Messengers lead singer Darren Mulligan. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show that we've ever done and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and you can get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'll be doing various speaking appearances. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township every Tuesday night in New Jersey. It's a great restaurant. Wonderful people. Come on out. We have sports talk, giveaways, prizes, and some special guests from time to time. On November 10th, Remy, you will be the guest speaker at Abundant Life Ministries of Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah, Pastor Rob Pinckney and his wife Dana's church.
Such a good man.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I love the former Phillies chaplain, Rob Pinckney, and this service starts at 3:30 p.m. Yes. So the address is 6228 North Broad Street. Remy is as passionate as you are here. You are very passionate in person, so I know it's going to be a very special afternoon. Again, that's Sunday, November 10th. And if you're in the Philadelphia listening area, Eagles bye week. So yes. You guys planned that very well. Thank
that
you.
Was very good. Thank yeah, you. I appreciate very that, much. Eagles.
I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We could not do this without their support. So please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies, even better people. So thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, and Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Our guest, Darren Mulligan, is the lead singer for We Are Messengers. They'll be in concert in our area at Calvary Chapel in Vineland, New Jersey on Saturday, November 9th. So the night before you're speaking at Abundant Life. Yes. That is at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available, so check them out. Darren's testimony is powerful. Really enjoyed our conversation. Here is that interview. Darren, you often say, while you're singing on tours, I was a bad, bad man. And I've heard you say that you were an adulterer, you were a drunk. How did Jesus Christ save you from that old life?
Yeah, well, I think it's the way God typically works, is he sent someone into my life, you know, that had fallen in love with him. With us, it was kind of different, though. I had been dating a girl called Heidi for 10 years, and I had moved to America, you know, this is 13-14 years ago, to play in a heavy rock band. And when I was gone, she fell in love with Jesus, like radically in love. So he healed her of an eating disorder, you know, took her depression away. And so I basically came home and asked this girl to marry me. And at this stage, I was just a mess of a man, you know.
Wow.
But I saw her life so radically different, so transformed. And I didn't know it was Jesus. I just knew she was different. But as time went on, she started inviting me to go to church. And I didn't like church because I had grown up with religion, and religion just felt so dead and so empty. But one night sitting in church, I just felt this utter conviction that I was a dead man walking and that I was in desperate need of relationship with God. And so I just begged them to forgive me. But here's the kicker. This is where it really happened. Uh-huh. So a year later, you know, I'm going to church, reading the Bible, doing all the right things, but not feeling huge change in my life. I realized that I had just come to God out of fear. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be responsible for all of my sin.
Wow.
But God told me a year later, when I had married this woman and we had a wee kid in the way and in a house and everything was good, he said, go and tell her everything you've ever done. And so... Wow. And so I went and I told my wife everything that I had ever done. And, you know, I waited for the rejection. I waited for her to push me away. But all she did was throw her arms around me, tell me she forgives me and that she loves me. And it was in that moment that I fell in love with Jesus. Wow. See, fear can't keep a man, but it is the love and the kindness of God that can rescue someone. And that's a long way of saying it. Sorry. That's what rescued me, was a woman demonstrating the kindness of God to me.
That is beautiful and amazing. And my wife is sitting here next to me, and she's constantly inspiring me to stay strong in my walk. She's always challenging me when I struggle. She's always encouraging me when I need it. Where do you think you would be right now had God not put Heidi in your life? I know I personally wouldn't be here talking to you if Remy wasn't in my life.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's every possibility that I probably would have taken my own life at some point. It's funny, you know, I grew up in a wonderful home in Ireland, and, you know, we didn't have things. We were very poor, you know, we grew up in poverty, but we didn't have a poverty of love or affection. We had all of those things. But it's funny how sadness just gets in on a man, and loneliness, and that thing just grew and grew as I got older. And so my behaviors, you know, alcoholism, you know, sexual promiscuity and all of these things, they were just symptomatic of my hopelessness. And if it hadn't have been for Heidi and for God interjecting in my life through that, I just couldn't see a way out. I couldn't see how I could live like that. I couldn't see how I could continue to live. You know, and like, I'm not saying now, you know, Rob or Remy, that I'm, you know, living this wonderfully blissful life. I have a really great life. I'm really grateful for it and thankful for it. But, you know, mental health is mental health, and it still haunts me from time to time. But instead of going into a spiral of hopelessness and self-loathing and hatred and manipulation, I just run to Jesus, and I just be like, God, come on, like, I need you. And like, I've been, even this past week, I've just been pleading with the Lord. I've been like, come on, God, I need you. I need you. And so his mercy is new every day, and that's what I run to, you know.
We talk about that often on the show. We've had some former athletes who've had some mental health issues. And I think what's key, Darren, is you never want to tell anyone, hey, don't seek professional help. We should always seek the professional help. But as believers, absolutely, as you and I know, as Remy knows, as believers, we have that missing ingredient, really, that answer. Like, Jesus Christ is fills that void. He's the one. And what you just described, I think is so important, because as he's helping you through these times, the ups and downs, I'm sure so many other people in our listening audience can hear this and recognize that, yes, I should seek the help that I need for sure, but find Jesus in that, find Christ in that.
I agree completely. I think there's a holistic approach to mental health.
Yeah.
You know, we wrote a song called Maybe It's Okay that came out last year. And in that, we're really wanting people to be able to tell their stories about how they feel, about what's going on with their health and with their mind. And I think you need to seek medical advice always, because a lot of mental health issues are purely physiological. But we believe in a God who heals not just the spirit, but also heals the body and the mind too. You know, Second Timothy talks about God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and a sound mind. And so I think that having a sound mind, having healing, I think we should always expect that. But I think we should also use the gifts of doctors and counselors that the Lord has given us too. I just think we need to take it easy on each other. You know, we're all fighting battles no one sees. And I've needed to learn to take it easy on myself too, and not to put too many expectations on me for feeling a particular way. I'd rather rely on the truth of the gospel, the promises of the gospel, on how I feel, you know.
And that's a beautiful song too. Amen.
Thanks, sir.
Darren, you and your wife took a leap of faith several times. You quit your job, you started ministering, you moved to Nashville from Ireland. How were you able to trust God despite so much unknown? That's kind of hard.
I think I trusted God because I had seen him radically change my life. Like, he changed all of my desires. You know, like, my desire was filled with lust, was filled with envy and pride and manipulation. Overnight, he took those things from me. He put a new spirit in me, put a new desire in me. And so I also saw that in my wife. And I just saw God's faithfulness over a period of a few years, and just watching him heal people and restore people, restore relationships, the kind of things. Men can do a lot of things, Remy, a lot of good and a lot of bad. But what we can't do is we can't change ourselves. You know, there is no self-help book that will ever make somebody feel at ease or feel the rest and the peace that God can give you.
Amen.
So when I felt that, I was like, Jesus, I'm going to go anywhere you tell me to go. We're going to do whatever it is you want us to do. And so, yeah, we quit our jobs and went and did schools work and set up food programs for, you know, people in our community. And and none of that felt like it was the thing. So a year later, I prayed one day outside my school and I told God that, you know, I just wanted to go back to work, take care of my family. And I played music all my life. So it was a strange second half of my prayer, but I just said, God, I don't need music anymore. I didn't need it because I had him. Right. And the next day, Warner Brothers in Nashville called and offered us a record deal.
Wow. Isn't it always like that? The unknown is actually so beautiful with Jesus.
It's so nice. My goodness. Yeah. It's just so much better. Yeah. I would rather live in the unknown and live in the mystery of what he's called us to than live in all the knowledge of my plans. Because my plans are always so pathetic. I always dream so small and he always dreams so big, you know?
Oh, you sound just like Remy. When I aim low, she always aims high. And she says, God wants more for you.
Of course,
he always wants more for you. You talk
always.
You mm-hmm. talked about the music, and so the background was you were a hard rock musician. Then you end up quitting music. Could you have ever envisioned when you quit music and you were playing hard, like your background's in hard rock, that you would be here on this platform that you have now with We Are Messengers?
No, like absolutely not. You know, Well, we are now. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and sometimes it feels really surreal that the Lord has allowed us to write music that has gone all over the world, millions and millions of streams and record sales and all of that. I couldn't have imagined that the Lord would fulfill dreams that I had when I was 7 years old. That's what I wanted to do. I always wanted to write songs that would change people's lives. And I wanted to be a priest because I grew up Catholic, you know?
So did I. I know all about that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at 34 years old, I got to sign a record deal and I realized that the Lord had already made me a priest because he says that when we're in him, we're a royal priesthood.
Absolutely.
The old things have gone and the new has come. Mm-hmm. And so I get to go across the world doing something I love. And honestly, there's so many people that are more talented and more articulate than I am. But the Lord says, I'm looking for people that have a heart that's right, that have a heart after me. Mm. And that's what I really want. Yeah. See, he doesn't need your calling. God doesn't need your calling. He gives you your calling. He gives you your gifting. He gives you your ability. But what he wants is your character.
Wow.
And so I'm learning that the Lord has given me all these things and this ability so that I might develop character, that I might become holy as he is. Just so that maybe someone will look at me someday and say, there's Jesus. I want to be like that. Just catch a glimpse of him.
That's beautiful.
I love that. I want to ask you about so many of your songs. They're so beautiful. I love them. I know Remy does. In the lyrics of Magnify, kind of like what we're talking about right now, it's I've only scratched the surface. I've barely had a taste, but just a glimpse draws my heart to change. I love that. It's so beautiful. What was the inspiration behind it?
It was literally at a time in my life where, in my Christian walk, honestly, where something really horrific had happened in my family, and I can't really talk about it on air, but I had really just lost love for God. I just couldn't love him when I saw this thing happen. I couldn't reconcile how a good God would allow my family to hurt the way it did.
Wow.
And so I started singing this song, and each night I would sing, God, take it all away, magnifying in what a name. And really what I was asking God to do was take away my anger, take away my thirst for justice. And so I would sing that every night. And in those verses, the Lord reminded me, it was just a glimpse of him that caused my heart to change. You know, it was just a tiny glimpse of him that made everything new. And it's been, that song was transformative for me because it took me singing those words every night for a year until my heart believed it again. You see, the heart will believe the things that the mouth speaks. The heart will believe the things the mouth speaks. So I sang words so that my heart might believe that he was good again. And it took some time, but we got there, and it's just, I'm so thankful that the Lord gave me that song.
I think sometimes, Darren, we lose sight of, we think that accepting Christ coming to the Lord, some people sell us a wrong bill of goods saying, okay, life is going to be perfect. No, it doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. It just means that you're saved, but you're going to be, you're going to go through storms in life. And it, God is telling us he's with us the whole way. And he's always with us there. And he's going to help us through, and he's going to guide us through those. And it's beautiful how you were able to see that. And I'm sure the lyrics of that song, and that song is going to allow people to maybe think about it when they're going through those rough times too.
Well, thank you. And I agree with your statement. I think sometimes we have this false perception of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yeah, it's going to be as tough, and sometimes it's harder, honestly. But you have this thing, this confidence in Jesus that he never leaves. He never leaves us on our own. We're never helpless. We're never hopeless. And I wouldn't trade that confidence and that restfulness and that peacefulness in him for any circumstance. You know, I'm not going to let my life be dictated by circumstances. I'm going to let my life be dictated by the love, mercy, and grace of a king who gave his life for me when I was a piece of dirt. That's what I want.
Wow. Yeah, I love your honesty and your transparency, awesome. Darren. It's incredible.
Rob mentioned Magnify, and I love that song. It's a beautiful song. But do you have a favorite song? Like when it what's the most special song to you?
Oh, they're all so different. They're like children, you know. Some days you have your favorite.
Oh, I love
days
it.
You don't.
It depends on the day, right?
It depends on the day. I think probably my favorite at the moment is a song called Power. It's a new single we dropped about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And it's just a rocking song. But what's so beautiful about it is it's just a song asking for Holy Spirit to just come and change me.
Yes.
You see, I believe that power, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, is alive in us that believe in him.
Absolutely.
And that power is at work today, and it causes the blind to see and the lame to walk and the dead to come out of the grave.
Yes.
And that's, I think, what we really need. You know, we talk about politics and plans and church programs. What we really need is the Spirit of God to come and transform us individually so that we might go into our communities and help them have this common unity that Christ has already ordained. You know, you want to know how African-American communities and white communities are going to learn how to love each other really well. Mm-hmm. They're going to do that in the common unity of Jesus Christ, because he doesn't have favorites. He doesn't see skin or social class or political divisions. He sees sons and daughters.
Absolutely.
And so when we have that Spirit of God in us, we see everybody like a son or daughter of the King, and we see them as having inherent worth and value. So my favorite song is that, because I get to just dance and rock out to it every night and just watch Holy Spirit just plant these super cool seeds in people.
Man, you're speaking truth. And when you started talking about the Holy Spirit, I literally got chills. We're talking to Darren Mulligan, a lead singer for We Are Messengers. Darren, before I let you go, now you told me that you did something this past week that my wife, even though she's married to a sports guy, has never done in her life. She has never gone to an NFL football game. You did.
That
you went
true.
To see the Ravens Cardinals.
I'm right there with you there.
Yeah, but he actually likes it. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I've never been to an NFL game. I'm a huge sports fan. Growing up, playing sports, loving sports. But the NFL was something that I've watched on TV, and it never really struck a chord with me, because it almost seems like every 20 seconds there's a commercial trying to sell me some kind of cheese product. And so I really struggled with it, but my friend Benson Cohen from a record label got me some tickets to that. So we went out to the Ravens game in Baltimore, and I walked into the stadium, and it felt like I was walking into the Coliseum, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
People were losing their minds. So the first quarter started, I'm in the seats, I'm talking to my buddy Kyle about the rules, trying to figure out, you know, what's happening. And I was loving it. So much energy, so much action. And then the second quarter started, and the whole stadium went quiet, even though they were still running plays. And I turned to my buddy, I was like, what's the story? Why is everyone so quiet? And he says, oh, they do that in the second and the third quarter. And that's kind of disappointing, isn't it? Like, so everyone's sitting eating like corn dogs and nachos and talking about their life. And I'm like, this is boring, dude. Like, you know, if this was a soccer game, we would be losing our minds continuously for 90 minutes.
I love soccer.
You know what I mean, Remy?
Yes, I'm right there with you. I'm Egyptian, so I'm all about soccer.
So I will say this. I got a massive appreciation for the skill level and honestly for the physicality of it. Like, I used to think rugby was a tougher game, but some of those hits those guys were putting in, I can see why a lot of guys end up with, you know, concussions and severe head injuries. So I have a lot of respect for the game now, but we did leave after the second quarter because honestly, it was just kind of boring, dude.
That's great.
That's something I would do.
Darren, you are not helping me out here. I was trying to take Remy like on a date night to maybe a Monday night football game, but I think she's out now.
I'm gonna go with Darren because he leaves in the second.
I don't know, you're going to have people listening going, oh, he's Irish, he's a soccer, he's a wimp, they're just into the wimpy soccer game. And I'm like, no, I get it. I actually think the sport is really cool.
Yeah.
I do think that it moves too slowly, that it takes too long.
Totally.
So for me, I love the high energy of like rugby or soccer where the game starts. You do your first half, you know, 40, 45 minutes, you get 15 minutes break and you go again. It just feels like just when I'm getting excited, I don't know, there's somebody dancing in a suit or I'm watching 15 cheerleaders in the air. I don't want to watch cheerleaders. I want to watch men like wreck each other to try and win this thing. So anyway, forgive me, NFL fans.
This
I'm so
the
sorry.
Best interview ever. I'm loving this.
Darren, last thing before we let you go, because people listen to us all over the country. Where are some of the next stops for We Are Messengers? Where can people go out and see you guys?
Yeah, we're all over the place at the moment. We're out of the, we are on the East Coast. For the next couple of weeks with a band called Hillsong, Young and Free. And then in November, we headed on a headline tour all across the country. So you can just get like more information and tickets at wearemessengersmusic.com. And we're really bad at self-promotion, but we're really good at loving on people. So if you do come out to one of our shows, you can expect them to be real messy, lots of laughter, jumping, shouting, crying, the whole gamut. But our heart is always that you would leave feeling more human and more in love with your community and with God than you did when you walked in the door. That's the goal.
I love that. I always tell people I'm not here to self-promote myself. I'm here to promote Jesus Christ. And it sounds like you guys have that same heart. And I love that about you. And I really appreciate you taking some time to spend here with us. It was really fun to chat with you.
It was awesome. This is one of my favorite interviews in a long time.
Oh, so cool. Mine too.
You do realize I'm going to get hate mail from people about the NFL, but that's what happens to me. Because you can address that to We Are Messengers.
No worries, Darren. When you're here again in the East Coast, we're going
to
definitely come check you out. We appreciate your time,
man.
Thank you.
I do. It. Hit me up. I'll get you guys tickets and we'll go out and get some coffee, all right?
Absolutely.
Sounds great, brother. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, lads.
That was Darren Mulligan, lead singer of We Are Messengers. We'll talk about the interview next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. We just heard from Darren Mulligan, lead singer of We Are Messengers. I loved his honesty, his transparency, so much that we could talk about, but we're out of time. But what he said about coming to the Lord first out of fear and feeling unchanged, but then going to his wife, confessing all that he's done and her reaction, her response is what made him fall in love with Jesus. And he said what rescued him was a woman demonstrating the kindness of God. Man, wow, that is so incredible, right?
So good.
It's a lesson I think think for all of us, the way we love others, the way we show forgiveness, and how we love Christ and live like Christ can demonstrate the loving kindness of Jesus. And man, we can have eternal ramifications if we do that on someone else's
life.
Come
on, the Bible says, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. And so what we're really trying to get people connected to is the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, every time we lead people into fear, with fear, it connects them to the law. And the Bible says the law will always breed rebellion. So what we're trying to get out of them by creating this fear will actually produce it inside of them. So as parents, as men and women of faith, don't lead people in fear. Lead them through the love of Jesus Christ, and that love will actually produce love. What you sow in, you'll reap from.
Beautiful. So, thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Thanks to Darren Mulligan. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Hoare. And huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for all the work he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.